2237.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We return with Dr. Jacques Vallée on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. Chris, you have a question to follow up on.
Well, first of all, I have an observation, and I must say, reading through Wonders in the Sky, I'm absolutely amazed at the amount of real good, solid research and data mining that Chris and yourself have done. This is a very impressive reference book. It's jaw-dropping in its scope. There's 500 cases that I can't recommend this book enough to our listeners. I almost get the sense, Dr. Vallée, that this is almost Passport to Magonia Part 2, but done in such a way, the way that you've rated each of these reports and your methodology of compiling these reports, it's very impressive. And you know, I kind of get the sense that this is almost a Passport to Magonia Part 2. Was that kind of the way you were approaching this?
Yes, very much so. And a lot of the credit, most of the credit, has to go to Chris Orbeck. And in a way, this is also, a transition of generations, because Chris is much younger than I am. He will write many other books. I won't. And I want to go back to my quiet research. Chris is a loves language. He's a philologist. He's a young Englishman who lives in Madrid. He's a lover of history, and he contacted me about six years ago. We talked about Passport to Magonia, and he said that essentially he was going over that same territory, but using the internet. And I think this book is only possible, number one, because of the scholarship that Chris is bringing to the subject, and the internet. The internet in two ways, because what I could not do when I wrote Passport to Magonia, I knew I was just scratching the surface. And I only had access to fairly limited resources, good libraries, but I couldn't go take 2 years off and travel around the world and visit every museum or every library looking for old records. Now you can do that from your living room using the web, because 50,000 newspapers have put their collections online. Many museums have done the same thing, and there are more and more every day. So if you have the right search engines, you can really do a lot of data mining on the web today. The second aspect of the internet is that Chris was able to create a project, a collaboration project called the Magonia Exchange, with about 10 active people and many others who collaborate from time to time, but 10 active people from Russia and Germany and Latin America and, of course, the U.S., exchanging data and pooling their resources and tracking down references and critiquing those cases. So when he contacted me, we merged our databases. Since Magonia, I had continued to accumulate cases that people sent me or that I found. And then we started looking at the cases one by one and eliminating all those that could be meteors and comets and so on. There are now excellent historical books about the history of comets. There's a big book called Cometography that has an analysis of comets down through history. I mean, we used references like that and references on the web to track down as many of those cases as possible. And for every case we kept, we eliminated 4 or 5 or 10. And my recommendation to Chris was that we shouldn't stop until we had 500 cases. And before the Industrial Revolution, we didn't quite make it. We stopped in 1879. But 1879 is still pretty good, because there was no airplane in the sky. There were a few balloons, but people knew where they were. I mean, they were, the people flying balloons were pretty well known. There was no dirigible. There was no CIA, there were no secret prototypes, there was no U-2, there was no Area 51. I mean, if something was in the sky, it was described pretty well. I mean, you could analyze it in terms of natural phenomena. And one of the criticisms that I expect that our book will receive, especially from ufologists, is, well, you know, it's old folklore. I was attacked, you know, pretty viciously with Pastor Tumagonia by ufologists who said, well, you know, Valley has gone off the deep end with this thing because all this is vague folklore. It is not vague folklore. The consuls in Rome, in the Roman Empire, had made a rule that they had to have a report every year on any unusual thing in the sky. And this was, of course, for astrological reasons, that anything unusual in the sky might announce an important historical event, you know, famine and war, revolution, the death of an emperor, or things like that. And so those records, some of them were lost, but many of them were saved by historians who wrote their own books based on those records, and those were picked up again in the Middle Ages and have traveled down to us. It's a little bit as if Barack Obama called the Secretary of the Air Force and said, I demand to have a quarterly report on UFOs seen over the U.S., you know, on my desk.
Yeah, and, we can only be so lucky.
Yes.
Jacques, one thing that I noticed in here, which I really found gratifying, I've heard, you know, so many skeptics and naysayers say, well, how come astronomers never see these objects? And I am absolutely bedazzled by the amount of credible astronomy, astronomer reports in this book, especially, you know, obviously from the 15th century on. It's just, I mean, page after page after page of objects that are seen by people who have, you know, state-of-the-art training for the time period. That's something that I think should be pointed out. One of the things that
they had observing instruments that are, you know, for what they were doing, equal to what we have today. I mean, the you know, Paris Observatory had first-class telescopes, and when you have you know, Le Verrier, when you have Lagrange, when you have Cassini, when you have the Secretary of the Royal Society. I mean, all these people who are, you know, luminaries of science. Describing objects in the sky that and saying that they could not explain them, and we cannot explain them, you know, that's absolutely fascinating, and that's one of the things that kept us going. I mean, we worked very hard on this for 6 years. Nobody got paid. There was no budget. There was no no sponsor. We just did it. And it was absolutely fascinating to discover. It was really a journey of discovery to track down those the references for all these cases, some of which had been sketched out in some UFO books, you know, because other people have gone through some of that before us. Of course, we don't pretend to have invented all this. But in many cases, they could not get to the original reference. And so we tracked it down in every case. And you have Cassini observing something at Paris Observatory, and he did not publish it because he had seen it only once. But a few years later, he saw it again in very similar circumstances, and then he published the two observations. And here you see how science developed in a very open, intellectually rich context. And you wonder, when did science become this sort of constipated, you know, close-minded thing that we have today in academic science when you're talking about new phenomena?
Well, maybe nowadays, of course, it's also the political influences, because they have to get grants and they have to deal with politicians, and things get kind of messy. We'll get into that more in a moment. Jacques Vallée joining us. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
Hey neighbors, Nuance offers Dragon speech recognition for a variety of platforms. Dragon Dictate for Mac, Dragon Naturally Speaking 11 for Windows, and Dragon mobile apps for BlackBerry, iPhone, and iPad. No matter how you compute, Dragon instantly converts what you say into text, helping you be more productive just by talking. Find out more at GetDragon.com. That's GetDragon.com. GetDragon.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscle, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Still worrying? From GMO to organic food in jeopardy divided by economic turmoil, there is still an answer. With just a little knowledge easily acquired, you will literally see food everywhere. Author Linda Runyon has these skills from having lived this way of life and created the tools so you could too. Wild food is economical, nutritious, freely available, abundant, and free for the taking. It is a skill that takes little time to learn, but stays with you for life. And now for a limited time, it's all on sale. It's called the Bye Bye Old Website Sale. Can you guess what's coming? Absolutely everything's on sale across the board, including our already discounted packages. And you know, the holidays are coming up fast. We don't know if we're going to have another sale this year. This was the only one in 2010 so far. We've been lucky to keep our prices the same since 2008, but who knows what the future will bring. So go to ofthefield.com now, or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE, and cross food off your to-do list.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned in to the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Dr. Jacques Vallée. He has written with Chris Aubeck a new book called Wonders in the Sky, tracing UFOs, strange things in the sky, going back for hundreds and hundreds of years. So one of the questions we were raising before we continued here, and that is, Jacques, do you think it's the political posture that causes science to be, as they say, constipated nowadays?
There are open-minded scientists, and especially here in Silicon Valley where I work, One of my colleagues commented one day about my research by saying, when we stop asking these questions, we might as well, you know, close down Silicon Valley or sell it to the Japanese, because Silicon Valley is based on people thinking out of the box and asking questions like the questions we're asking now. I mean, we have a phenomenon that is unusual, and that's how science gets breakthroughs. But most of science today is, of course, a big, you know, based on big institutions that are funded by government grants in many cases. And it's, most of it is really incremental. It's not looking for breakthroughs. In fact, it frowns on breakthroughs. It's really looking for the next iteration or an improvement, and we make improvements all the time. I mean, just look at your iPhone or your computer. But those are incremental improvements that come out of labs where people have been working diligently to get to the next decimal place or get to the next improvement. The UFO phenomenon is a surprise. It comes from in ways we don't expect. It does not come to us through scientific channels in most cases, although if we had access to some of the military records,
boy, wouldn't that be nice,
that are instrumented, and we know from reports from pilots and so on that in many cases they have seen things, but they have also recorded things, and the records have been taken away. If we had access, if science had access to those records, it would be a whole new ballgame. But, you know, and we can discuss why science does not have access to those records. But
well, one of the things, though, that you do raise there is, okay, the military maybe has information, but do you think any government on Earth knows what's really going on? Do they even have a clue?
I would only guess. My guess would be no, that they have data, but they don't have the solution. Because I think that's something that many people don't understand. The fact that you have a lot of data about the phenomenon doesn't mean you understand it. I mean, we have a lot of data about cancer, and we've certainly worked on, the problem of cancer for the last 50 years with all the techniques and instruments of modern science, and we still have only, you know, fragmentary understanding of the process. And we certainly don't have a solution, a global solution to the problem. So that's, you know, the way science should work is that you make the data available on a competitive basis to different teams of scientists with different ideas, different hypotheses, different techniques, and then they communicate among themselves. But that's not the way the military works. I mean, the military has very specific missions. And when something happens outside of those missions, the tendency is to, well, examine the data to see if it's a new threat. And if it's not an obvious new threat, then it goes into a drawer, and in many cases it's forgotten.
Well, you think maybe that's part of the problem, too, that maybe there is that Warehouse 13 where the military has all sorts of information and evidence, but they aren't looking at it because it's not an immediate threat, doesn't fit into their framework.
Well, I don't know the right answer to that, but in the cases where I do have first-hand experience, the data may not even be there anymore, because I know of some archives, including some military archives, that have been dispersed or shredded simply to make room for new records. And we certainly have testimony from people who were clerical assistants in some of these archives and were told to digitize records, for example, to make room and eliminate the paper records, and in many cases the paper record was shredded and the digital record was never done. There are also cases where people in charge of the archive maybe were very interested in the cases, but their bosses were not, and they were told to destroy the data, again, and just to make room, and where they just took the cases away. I think that's only true of some of the Blue Book projects. There was a funny incident in the days of the Condon study when Professor Condon I think somebody on the Hill, some senator or some congressman, wanted to have information about a certain sighting that had happened in his district, and he asked the Air Force, and the Air Force asked Dr. Condon because they thought he had the record, and he didn't, and the Air Force couldn't produce a record because it had disappeared from their files. And in many cases, you know, somebody just took it to show it to his kids, or just to save it from being destroyed by some bureaucrat.
So when we send out all these Freedom of Information requests, maybe there's just nothing to give us.
Well, in many cases, the record isn't there, and that's certainly true in France, and it's certainly true in the Blue Book files. There are cases that for which we have a reference in the index, and I had compiled the first complete index of the Air Force files when I was working with Dr. Hynek in the mid-60s at Northwestern in Chicago, and some of those cases only exist in the index anymore, unless somebody saved it, and I've saved a lot of them, copies, I should say. I didn't have the originals. But, you know, that's the way bureaucracy works. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, these are things that don't, to the bureaucracy, don't seem to have any real importance, especially after you have the Academy of Sciences coming up with a report that says there is nothing to it and it's not a threat and people shouldn't be spending time or money studying it.
Yeah, so let's create MUFON.
So it's not really the fault of the military all the time. I mean, the scientific community has been has not really been diligent in encouraging anybody to save the data.
So maybe you're suggesting here that a lot of the key evidence, the most important evidence that maybe we could acquire to learn something more, doesn't exist because it's been thrown away.
The historical evidence, we have more data, more accurate data from the Roman Empire, if you read our book, than many of the recent data. You know, the old data, you have to remember that this was in cultures where most people were illiterate. So the people who wrote down the records and took the time to do it, and again, paper was expensive, and some of those cases were not written on paper, they were written on papyrus or carved in stone. And so somebody took a lot of trouble to preserve those cases.
So if you spend all that time, it's not disposable, it becomes more compelling to save it. We have Dr. Jacques Vallée. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You can download a version that is mostly full-featured. Try it out, and if you like it, it's just $34.95 for Graphic Converter from LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com for my favorite, Graphic Converter.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42 I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Dr. Jacques Vallée. He and Chris Aubeck have a new book out called Wonders in the Sky. You can get a copy from your favorite bookseller or Amazon, or click on the link over at theparacast.com. And you were talking about the record keeping, and I guess the long and short of it is, Jacques, that if you spend all that time basically putting the words to paper, you're more inclined to want to preserve it. But in a disposable society, sometimes we dispose of these things too readily?
If you write something on a CD today, it probably will be unreadable in 5 years. If you put it on paper, paper can be attacked by oxygen and fire and rats and insects, and water, of course. So the probability it's going to survive is pretty low, including in government archives. And the ancient records that have come down to us were things that people really wanted to preserve, and because they felt it was important. So in that sense, Chris and I think of our book as just the beginning. We'd like to alert the community of scholars, not so much the astronomers or the military or any of that, but the people working in museums, the librarians, the archivists, the people who study old manuscripts or correspondence of, there must be tons of things in the attic of castles in France and Italy and England and so on, where they people have related things like that. And we found some of that, and we published it whenever we found it. I mean, those are the best records. When somebody writes, my dear uncle, you will not believe what we saw in the garden yesterday, and it's, 1671 or something like that. The cases in China and Japan are especially precious, and we hope to inspire you know, scholars from those cultures to go back, and we only have fragmentary information about what they have in their museums, and there must be a lot more. I mean, the Chinese culture is so rich and so ancient that there must be a lot more cases. We have quite a few cases from China, and they are written in a beautiful poetic descriptions, and they are extraordinary. And again, they match the descriptions of the UFO phenomenon today. So somebody needs to explain that at some point. In the book, we don't explain anything. We don't have a hypothesis that we're pushing. We're not trying to tell you what to think. I mean, it's just too early. We just had 500 cases before the modern age, before there was anything human flying in the sky that are begging for explanation. The book is in three parts. The first part is a collection of cases that we call the chronology, placing every period in its own historical context in terms of science, communication, and so on. The second part contains examples of the cases we rejected. And of course, we couldn't put all of them because it would be, you know, it would be an encyclopedia. But giving examples of what we rejected and why. And then the third section is really a disclosure, very complete disclosure on the sources and methods we used in the selection, so that people can see what we did and they can agree or disagree with the selection criteria. And then in the conclusion, we've done a number of statistical studies relating the time of day, the frequency during the year, the duration of cases, and so on. And we did not include any legends. People say, well, the Hopi Indians have a legend about a beautiful maiden coming from the sky in a flying basket, and so on. Well, that's great, but and it's certainly very interesting for folklore study, for anthropologists, and so on. But we don't have a date and a place and the name of the witness. What we wanted were cases that we could place at least, you know, fairly precisely within a year, and then in the later centuries, very precisely. So we wanted a date and a place. And in many cases, we had the date, the place, the name of the witness, and the time of day. So you can begin to do some good statistics. And then people are free to test their own hypotheses against the database.
One of the things, Dr. Vallée, that always struck me about your work and your out-of-the-box thinking was your idea of some of, I think, you tended to sort of drift over into the thinking that this could possibly be manifesting in its totality as some sort of a control system that you use the description of a thermostat. And that always struck me as being, it had a real ring to it. And when people ask me what's a good book to read about ufology that doesn't talk about Roswell, of course, I always mention your book Dimensions, where you do go into quite a bit of detail with that thinking. I seem to recall back in the late 70s, I think you did a magazine interview with Jerry Clark in Fate, and you were quoted as saying that assuming that there is a feedback mechanism involved in the operations of the control system, if you can change the information that's carried back to the system, you might be able to infiltrate it through its own feedback. Could you possibly elaborate quickly on that? I was very struck by that, and it stuck with me for a long time, and I did look up the actual quote.
Well, it's... I'm an information scientist, so I don't look at things the same way that my colleagues in physics, Professor Michio Kaku, for example, is now, and I'm delighted to see that somebody of his stature is now looking at the theory of different dimensions and opening up the hypotheses for the phenomenon. When I look at the behavior of it, and you mentioned the absurdity. Well, absurdity has its own structure. Absurdity doesn't mean that something doesn't have any structure, especially when you look now at the full historical tapestry that we have, especially with this book now. it appears that the phenomenon is reacting to us in or to our own interpretation of it in a very, very interesting way. And, of course, it doesn't mean that there is somebody controlling it, you know, turning the knobs in some cave in the Himalayas or in some, you know, some mountain of the moon to control us. That's not what I mean by control system. I mean a system that controls information in a way that keeps a higher level standard constant or that drives it to a particular state of the system. Think of ecology, for example. If the Pacific Ocean heats up, then certain phenomena happen that we again control the overall temperature, and you have wind and storms and so on in a particular way. That's a feedback system, and it's a control system, but it's a natural control system. Now we have human control systems. The culture that we evolve collectively is a sort of control system that expressed through language and through images and through technology and through all of that. So, and we're not necessarily conscious of it. The UFO phenomenon seems to have a technology associated with it and a form of consciousness associated with it. And that form of consciousness is not reacting to things in a linear way, but it seems to have its own internal structure. And people like Jung, for example, the psychiatrist, came up with the idea of archetypes and the idea of a collective unconscious, including with respect to sightings of UFOs, including with respect to ancient UFOs, ancient descriptions of the phenomenon, as expressions of the collective unconscious.
I'll tell you what, Jacques, we have to break here. We have Dr. Jacques Vallée. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct. Wholesale pricing.
If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri.
Like a mini facelift, only without needles or surgery, Vizuri is a revolutionary youth rejuvenation skincare system that's proven to work or your money back. Vizuri is all natural and chemical and preservative free. It helps reverse damage to complexions as a result of aging, stress, lifestyle, and pollution. Vizuri reduces skin pore size, firms, lifts, and tightens, leaving you with soft, silky, shiny skin and looking years younger. You may have seen Vizuri reviewed by CBS TV News. Now see how Vizuri is helping men and women get a fountain of youth facelift at avatarfacial.com and click on CBS TV News to see video of the amazing Vizuri skincare system. Call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278 or go to avatarfacial.com, spelled A-V-A-T-A-R facial.com, and click on CBS TV News. Vizuri, the fountain of youth facelift.
Okay, I want to address the skeptics listening to talk radio. You hear multiple commercials on products that make you feel better and help you lose weight, but you don't believe it. Companies come and go. Well, people, I understand. You really are desiring a product that works, but you're tired of getting burned with substandard quality, gimmicks, and 3 to 6 month get-involved contracts. Life Change Tea is different. I speak for Life Change Tea because I lost 25 pounds, lowered my blood pressure, and blood sugar levels. I sleep well at night, knowing Life Change Tea customers receive a real product that works, customer service, and customer satisfaction. So here's my spiel. Test us, try us, and receive results. And if you don't try us, that's okay. And if you do, you'll be a happy tea customer getting healthy. So order now. Call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. In my opinion, you won't be sorry.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We have Dr. Jacques Vallée. He is co-author with Chris Aubeck of Wonders in the Sky, collecting strange reports of strange objects in the sky going back to antiquity. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. Okay, let us continue what we were talking about here, trying to maybe define what the phenomenon is. But does any of that say it can't be ET?
No. There is no way that we can put limits on what could be out there, on the forms of consciousness, the forms of life that could be out in space. But remember, our concept of space and time is extraordinarily primitive. And again, the idea of other dimensions beyond the three dimensions of space and the one dimension of time, that idea, when I wrote Passport to Magonia and when I wrote Dimensions, was a marginal idea in physics that came from people doing cosmology and people doing particle physics. And if you remember, in quantum mechanics, you need an infinity of dimensions. So that idea was still there, was already there, but it was there as a mathematical speculation. Nobody was really seriously looking at other dimensions as a physical reality, but now they do. I mean, now this is mainstream physics. Again, Dr. Michio Kaku is expressing that much better than I do, in terms of the possibility of other universes parallel to ours. Dr. Hynek used to joke about maybe there's a universe 5 minutes ahead of us. Maybe we're dancing with entities that come from a universe that's just very close to us and that we don't see. And the big challenge is, how would we communicate with it? And if we can communicate, can we send matter into that other universe, or just information? And what are the consequences of that? I mean, this is mainstream physics. Not because of UFOs, but because of problems in cosmology and problems in elementary particle physics. The placing boundaries around the phenomenon is very difficult, and you have to realize the book. I think one of the interesting aspects of Wonders in the Sky, certainly to me, was the dynamics between between Chris Ovek and me. Chris is very much a scholar. He's extremely precise, and he wanted to really limit what we included in the book to aerial phenomena. I was much more willing to be a little bit loose with the definitions and include entities. And Chris, we had some real fights about this, and I think it's healthy in a book to have authors who have different, you know, different approaches to it. And I do hope you will interview Chris and let him, you know, talk about his side of the of the story.
That's in the works, by the way, Jacques.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. And I won. He let me get away with a couple of cases where there was just an entity, because it was so illustrative of the phenomenon as a whole. But in most cases, we only included entities that were associated with a light or an aerial phenomenon, a globe of light, or things of that type. We had a big fight about Joan of Arc. If you remember, Joan of Arc had an immense impact on history, on European history. She was this young lady who was inspired to take over the French armies, and she was inspired by entities of light, by beings of light, that she mostly heard, but it seems that she also saw them. And they were off to the side, and they were talking to her. There is a great painting in New York, in one of the museums in New York, of these entities of light and Joan listening to them. And Chris was saying, well, this is not an aerial phenomenon according to our definition. And, of course, I accused him of wanting to cover up the case because he's an Englishman. But so we had a good laugh about that, and you know, I lost that one, so we don't talk about Joan of Arc in the book. There are other cases where I won, and he let me get away with it. But he's right in saying if we start including entities by themselves, including beings of light and so on, then it's a 5,000-page book, not a 500-page book. So we limited it to cases where there was an actual aerial phenomenon. But it's very difficult to make these definitions. Where do you draw the line?
Exactly. Well, one of the things that I've always felt, you know, fairly, I just have always gotten a sense of tricksterism being involved in many of the cases down through history. And you mentioned Jung's idea of the collective unconscious. Of course, the trickster is one of the more primordial archetypal symbols that we all share around the world subculturally. How about the trickster? I mean, I've never seen you actually mention the trickster as a potential player in some, if not most, of these cases. What do you think of that, of a tricksterish force that might be involved here?
Well, the trickster, and of course it belongs more to anthropology than it does to, and I try to stay pretty close to what witnesses describe, but the trickster comes in. Of course, there is a trickster in every culture. There is coyote in the Indian cultures. There is Legba, of course, in the voodoo.
There's hundreds of them.
The African tradition and so on. And what's very interesting about Legba or Coyote is that he's absurd. And he uses absurdity, and he also has an extraordinary sense of humor, and he belongs to the boundary. I mean, Legba is a deity of the crossroad and of the boundary and of the transition between day and night. And that idea of the threshold where perceptions can be fooled. A human perception is very much in question. You don't see very clearly, and your mind is somewhat troubled, and then things can happen that seem absurd, and then later on you realize. And of course, the devil. I mean, the devil in the medieval tradition is very frightening, but he's also funny and he's also absurd. and he's absurd in ways that can teach us something, as well as, of course, have a very evil result. And that the complexity of the phenomenon is similar to the complexity of UFOs. And that's one more reason why it's and you find that in some of the descriptions, for example, the ancient Chinese descriptions that we have in the book of witnesses who say, I saw this and I'm relating it as I saw it, but I hope that somebody can give me an explanation because I was left completely befuddled by what I had seen. And including some of the physical traces that are left that just don't seem to fit anywhere. And it's not accounted for just by the witnesses being distracted by the phenomenon or disoriented by the phenomenon. It goes deeper than that. It's as if there was something that could manipulate matter at a very deep level.
Jacques, I know you have to leave us in a few moments, so let me ask you a quick final question here. Having gone this far, are you going to be making any public appearances in connection with this book other than doing, of course, the radio circuit?
No, I'm pretty busy with my professional work, and my work is with high technology, and it keeps me very busy. I think the internet is probably the best way of alerting people to the research, and and the research, of course, is going to continue. Both Chris and I think that this is just the beginning. If people get in contact with Chris, they can join the research. It's called the Magonia Exchange. And Chris's email address is in the book. And my mail address if people want to send me some information.
Fast question here. Is there a website we can check out?
I think that you should get that from Chris. I maintain my own website, but it's mostly about my work in technology.
We'll ask Chris when we have on the show. The book is called Wonders in the Sky, from Jacques Vallée and Chris Arbeck. Jacques Vallée, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.